Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. Welcome into the house of God for the sermon titled, Under His Wings. And our scripture lesson today is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. And while you're looking that up, I had lunch this past week with a good friend of mine. And I was sitting there with him. And I got there a little early, and Henry come in, and he was not looking very happy. He kind of flopped down in the table in the chair across from me. And I said, Henry, what in the world is wrong with you? He said, I backed out my driveway the other day and hit that big old tree down at the back of the driveway for the umpteenth time. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. He goes, so I got fed up with it. I said, all right. He goes, I knew I didn't have time for it, so I called a tree company and they come to cut down that tree. And they did a great job. They cut the tree down. I thought, I'll never have to look in that thing again. It'll be out of my way. When they got done, the tree was cut down. And I looked down and I said, how about that stump? And the tree man said, well, we don't do that. You'll have to call the stump man. And he said, all right. So they give him a number and he called the stump man. And the stump man come out and he ground and dug and dug and ground. And the stump was gone. And Henry said, I'll never worry about that ever again. He said, but I looked and there was a hole in the ground. And I said to the stump man, I said, aren't you going to fill that hole in? And the stump man said, no, you have to get the excavator in here to fill the stump. And Henry said, all right. He called the excavator man. Excavator man brought out a little truck, a couple shovels, and filled the hole in. Left a mess. And Henry said to the excavator man, what are you going to do about that? And he said, oh, we just filled the hole in. You'll have to call a landscaper to come clean it up and make it look pretty. And Henry says, I was going to be gone for the weekend. So I called a landscaper and I worked with him. I said, please make this look pretty. And he did. And I came home and the landscaper had finished. I said, what's the problem? He goes, you know what? I said, no. He goes, landscaper planted a tree. Under his wings, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them are missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please join me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you to hear the word that you have put forth for us. Let us learn from it and grow. Let us take it to heart and use it this week to strengthen ourselves, our love, our faith, our hope, and talk to others about the glorious love of Jesus Christ and what it means. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I am fairly certain as I look around, pretty near everybody in this room knows the area that I'm about to talk. And I would also venture to guess that the fair amount of you have been there at least once, and I'm sure multiple times. But in 1877, the Great Western Maryland Railroad, in an effort to increase ticket sales, decided that they would do something for the people in the city of Baltimore. Now, in 1877, there was no air conditioning. Mary's windows open, which flies and skeeters and smells got in, and you wore wool clothes. Men wore wool pants, wool vest, tie, heavy shirt, coat, hat. How in the world did they just not walk out in the heat and fall down dead? I'm serious. And so the Western Maryland Railroad said, hey, we got this line that goes out to Western Maryland. Oddly enough, the same name as the railroad. Let's put a spur on it. We know that there's this mountain up there, and the wind blows, and it's cool. And we can go up there, and people will ride the train up there for the day, and they'll pay us money to get out of town. And thus, in 1877, Penmar Park was born. And we all know the rest of the story. Hotels and arcades and bowling alleys and a big dance pavilion. And if you go a little further up, you come to High Rock. Now, everybody in this room knows where High Rock is. And I'll guarantee you, you've been there at least once. And if you're anything like me, you've stood there and thought you'd like to catch a hold of all them people that have been up there spray painting that rock and smack them one. Stop that. Leave that rock be pretty. But you've stood on that rock and you've, and come on now, admit it. You've tippy-toed all the way out to the edge and leaned over and went, man, if I fell, that's a long way down, ain't it? And then you suddenly realize your wife is behind you and you made her mad this week and you back up 2 feet real quick. Where is she at? Or you're really stupid like I am and you stand there and go, I'm not gonna fall. And then, you know. Now, as bad as that is, there's these nuts that get up there and they strap a big giant wing on top of their head and they jump off that thing so they can fly. And I've been there on multiple occasions where they have said, hey, can you help me jump off this rock? Really? Well, you want me to push you? No, that's not what we want you to do. You stand there and hold me and until I get ready to go and then I can build up speed. What? And they got these things on their wings that read the wind currents and read when the pressure is right. And they go running off that rock and they jump. Now, I certainly want to try that. They don't make a wing that big yet for me. And they fly off into the distance. And I was there one time holding on to the guy and he jumped and he didn't fly. He went like this. Whoomp! And I thought, ain't this just something else? I'm going to finally get my name in the paper for killing a hang glider. And at the last moment, he caught that lift and went out with his feet kicking them trees, screaming the whole way, woohoo! And I thought, you know, you're almost dumber than I am. But it's fun to watch. Last Saturday, we was on our way down to Virginia to visit with some friends. And just below Inwood, West Virginia, there's some sort of plant down there, right next to 81, what's got two big smoke stacks or exhaust stacks or whatever that point up at the sky. And on that particular day, it's fairly warm. And as we were approaching it, you can see it until you go past it, I happened to take notice there was three turkey buzzards. And they would fly into the exhaust that was coming out and get shot up in the air and turn around and come down and do it again. And I thought, there's three teenagers where their parents ain't looking. And they was having fun. And I was slowing down to the point where I was busy watching. Whoop, heck, there's another one. Whoop, heck, there's another one. Oh, yeah, I'm still driving, ain't I? Look over, Wendy's asleep. Okay, she didn't notice that. I had to go back and read on this. And riding thermals is what it's called. Same thing hang gliders look for, is that sudden thermal where the wind changes and the dihedral in the wing is bent in such a way that it causes that lift and the ground pressure underneath is just low enough that when it moves over, it creates a vacuum or a force underneath and moves them up. But these buzzards were doing what they know to be natural. They didn't know about anything like that. They didn't understand the science of what they were doing. They were just flying around there and enjoying being alive. Woohoo! Whoop! And up they go again. And it got me thinking, how they not realize or not care or understand how protected they are. Christians, family, when we hit them low spots, we need to remember how protected we are and how quickly our faith in God can raise us. It was something that just stunned me to think about it. And it threw me back in time watching them guys jump off High Rock in a hang glider. And then I got to thinking, well, Palm Sunday's coming and everybody wants to preach from the same angle. Jesus came into town, they put down the cloaks and the palm trees and they sang and they praised him. I challenge us today to look at the journey that Jesus took down into Jerusalem from a new angle. You have to go back a little bit, or you have to go forward to go backwards, is maybe what I'm going to say, where we read in John 12, and we all know what happened. He told them, go get that colt. Go get that young donkey that ain't been broke yet. Just go down there and grab it. I'll tell you exactly where it's at. It's tied up waiting on me. And if somebody comes along and says, what are you doing? You just tell them the Lord needs it, and they'll say, okay. That's a test of faith, isn't it? You imagine you're sitting there on your front porch and suddenly two guys come up and they start to unlock your pickup truck and get in it. Hey, where are you going? Well, the Lord needs it. No, he don't. He may need it, but I'll drive it. But they just did it. And they found it and they brought it to him. And so that his body would be protected, they put their coats on it. And we all know the rest of the story. He went down. And if you read in Luke chapter 19, you see just before he crests the hill, just before he starts his downward track, the Bible records, Luke records, he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known what this day meant, what is coming for you yet is pain and suffering. But I'll save you. But in John chapter 12, we don't often look at this scripture, but in John chapter 12, as he's doing that, he gets challenged to come meet some Greeks whom he tells, that's not how this is. I don't have time for this. I have to go and be that sacrifice. Not a kernel of corn can grow anything until it falls in the ground and dies and then sprouts many. And in verse 27, he's telling them, now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven, I have glorified it and glorify it again. The crowd was there and heard it. It had thundered, and others said an angel had spoken to him, and Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment of this on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. That's how it starts. That is the sign of protection. That is the sign that when we get to our lowest point, he who was lifted will lift us up as well. We'll rise up like them birds did at the stack, like those people do that jump into the wind and put all their faith in what's above them. When we jump into the world, when we jump into pain and worry and trouble, and we don't, we crash. But when we do those same things and we put faith into who's above us, under whose wing we live, under how we will be raised, we are blessed and we are taken away for a moment from this world. Scripture says so. Who is my equal? To whom will you compare me? People will get tired. They will grow weary. Even the strongest of the strong will be tired and will be run out of strength. Jesus was the strongest of the strong at that moment. He went down off that hill to his death. That's how we start Palm Sunday. That's how we start the Holy Week. That's how we put ourselves in mind. That's how we put ourselves in frame. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to praise Hosanna in the highest. And I got to tell you something, Linda. This morning when I walked into church, I was singing Hosanna, Hosanna. And then you played it for the first praise song. How wonderful is that? Yes, they praised Him. Yes, they sang His praises. Because they were being lifted at that moment. And yet 7 days later, 5 days later, the protection didn't go away. It became full and strong. The salvation is about to be sealed. As we dwell in this week, as we begin to think about the greatest day in Christian life, we have to remember who Jesus was and what He did today. He rode into the valley, knowing what the other end waited for you. It was Christmas Eve, 1875, and Ira Sankey was traveling on the Delaware River steamboat. He was being recognized by some passengers because his picture had been in a newspaper. Ira Sankey was the great song leader, and we sing a lot of his hymns. He was famous for working right alongside D.L. Moody. And even in 1875, they came to him on the boat and asked him to sing to them. Sing one of your hymns for us. But he demurred, saying he would prefer to sing one of his favorite songs by William B. Bradbury, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. That's a good one right there. As he sang, one of the stanzas began, "We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way." When he had finished and the cheers had died down, a man stepped forward from the shadows and looked at Ira Sankey and said, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" Ira looked a little surprised and said, "Yes, in the spring of 1861. He said, "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night later in 1862. And again, Ira looked dumbfounded at the man and said, Yeah, I do remember those nights." "So did I," the man said, and stepped closer to it. "I served in the Confederate Army. And when I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, this fellow will never live to see the next light of day. And I raised my musket and set it in the crook of a tree and took careful aim. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, until the full light of the moon fell on you. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. Let him sing this song to the end, I thought. And then I said to myself, I'll wait. I can shoot him afterwards. He's a victim at all my events, and my bullet will never miss him. But the song you sang then was the song you sang just now. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Do thou befriend us? Be the guardian of our way." Those words stirred up memories, and the tears began to roll. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother and how many times she had sung that song to me. And when you had finished your song, I was shaking so badly, it was impossible for me to take aim. And I thought, the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be the great and almighty and can save me as well. And my arm dropped of its own accord by my side, and I knelt and recommitted myself that night to Jesus. We live under the protection, the love, the salvation, the saving grace of the one who stood in front of all of the world, the slings, the arrows, the pain, the death, and saved us so that at our lowest point, He would be above us to lift us up. We live, brothers and sisters, under His wings. We shall never fall. We shall never be without. We shall never lose. We shall never have need to worry or fear. We shall never worry or wonder about what lies on the road ahead of us. We shall simply live in that moment, understanding that when we lose focus, whatever, wherever, when we feel that we are in trouble, when we feel that we are losing to that pressure, when we feel that we are getting stuck, when we feel we are about to be low, then right then, in the heat of it all, we will be lifted up once again by our prayers, our love, our praise, and by our Savior who died to save us. Brothers and sisters, as He stepped down off that hill as the colt moved forward and He walked or rode to His moment, as He lived under His Father's wings who would live to protect Him, so shall we, saved by the blood and broken body of Jesus Christ, live forevermore under His wings who will never get weak and never get tired. And it all started today, Palm Sunday. Remember, we are under His wings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. How in the world did we ever deserve this? We'll never know. And yet there it is, Father. We thank You for this time, and we ask that as we go from here, we remind ourselves of what we shared when we shared the communion this morning and what it meant when Jesus walked down through the praise and adulation on the coats, on the palm blankets. It meant He was coming to save us and place us under His care and protection now and forevermore, under His wings, where no matter how low we think we get, He will raise us up yet again. Thank You for this day, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all of His children said, Amen. As we sing this last hymn, if you don't know, if you are unsure, the prayer bench is open. And if you're on the other side of that camera, today is the day to get to know Jesus Christ. May God bless each and every one of you.